Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Holleran, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Dr. Alan Hunter will be joining us, and tonight is all about the path of synchronicity, and I can't wait. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. Yay! There you go. Steve, hi.
Good evening, Maureen.
There you are, Steve. How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Great. And I'm really happy that you're here, Steve. In fact, the guest tonight is from England as well.
Oh, which, wonderful.
Yeah, so that'll be nice hearing you guys, the sound of your lovely voice. Steve, can you tell us or share with us what you do?
Absolutely. I am a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. I've been giving readings with Psychic Access for just over 3 years. And wow. I really enjoy working with people and helping them to address the challenges that they meet and also the opportunities.
Wow, it's been over three years. Isn't that incredible?
Yes, time flies.
You're still looking really young, though. Thanks, Steve. That was great. Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
Glad you made it back from your holiday as well as you did. Well, anyway. Brenda, would you please share with us what you do?
I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I read the crystal ball and the tarot and the playing cards, and I work with all you lovely people at PsychicAccess.com.
And yes, Brenda does, and she's fantastic, as well as Steve. And thank you, Brenda. And we have Stephen. Stefan, I'm sure.
that sounds so fancy when you say it.
I
that
know.
Way,
come on. Well, big Stephen and I. How are you?
I'm doing well. Very excited about this show. I'm a big literature buff, and you know, synchronicity is so important to what we do. So I'm excited to hear your guest.
Yes, you are synchronicity.
I like that song by the Police, by the way. It's a great song.
Yeah, they're good too. Yeah. Well, Stephen, can you tell us about what you do?
Absolutely. I read tarot cards and I study astrological charts. I specialize in empowering people in relationships or any kind of situation where they feel they need more power and personal autonomy and personal growth. So work over there at Psychic Access with all of you wonderful psychics.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
I can hear myself echoing. Well, and I also am at PsychicAccess.com, and I'm an intuitive psychic empath, and I utilize tarot as my main tool. And, yes, it's my work that I must do. There you have it. So Dr. Alan Hunter has spent his life exploring the intersection of literature, ancient wisdom, and the ways of the heart. He is a full professor of literature at Curry College, a counselor, and his doctorate degree in literature is from Oxford University. British by birth, he traveled extensively in Europe, India, and Africa before settling into Boston, Massachusetts. He is the author of 12 books, including The Path of Synchronicity. Hello, Alan.
Hello, great pleasure to hear your cheery voice.
Oh, thank you, and I really appreciate you coming on here. I mean, this is going to be this is one of my favorite subjects in the world, and I think that a lot of people really like this, and not to mention the word synchronicity is just so cool. Anyway, Alan, could you please tell us about yourself, our listeners, about yourself?
Yes, well, you gave a little bit of an introduction to me there. I might say that synchronicity was not something that I believed in from the very earliest portions of my life. In fact, when the book opens, I describe a series of synchronous events that only when I looked back on them could I say, wow, that was really pretty amazing that I got myself to where I needed to be. And so when I started looking into synchronicity, it became clear to me that one of the things that is true for all of us is that when we look back over our lives, we always see the most incredible coincidences, and we say, wow, how did I get here? And the answer is actually that we were responding to something the universe was tugging us towards. And so that's a little bit of background for me. I'm English by birth, and I wound up here in Boston, in Watertown, through a series of really quite extraordinary chances. No, I think I'd like to call them synchronicities. And I open the book with one of those stories.
Yeah, I was looking. I haven't read your book. I do want to. And I was looking over the content of what is in there. I like how synchronicity or just dumb luck.
Yes.
I like how you put that. In fact, I think that's something that we can address, because what is synchronicity?
Well, synchronicity is that almost miraculous series of events that line up just when we need them most. So suddenly something that had seemed absolutely impossible becomes possible. People that we didn't think we would ever get to make contact with are suddenly there, and doors open where previously doors had been closed before. Opportunity. And sometimes it arrives at exactly the right moment. And here's the point. These synchronicities are happening to us all the time, but most people refuse to see them. And that's the problem. If you talk to most people and you say, synchronicity, especially if you're an academic like I am working in a college, many people will guffaw and they'll say, well, that's very simplistic thinking. And that's what most people will say. But then how can they see something if they've already prejudiced themselves against its existence? These are the people who use phrases like dumb luck. You happen to be in the right place at the right time. And yes, synchronicity is about being in the right place at the right time and being ready to see it. So that's a thumbnail sketch of synchronicity. It's another way of describing it is we get into flow with what the universe is intending. So it's not about us and what we want. It's about whether we can respond to what the universe is guiding us towards.
It's about being mindful, really, about what's happening and observing. And I think that's actually part of our DNA anyway. So, it's interesting. People, I agree with you. And yes, you are in the academic field. Your mind is of the academic, this is a fantastic thing about now, though, isn't it? People on your side are coming over to the our side with no sides.
Well, that's exactly it, I'll give you an example, kind of a famous example, one of my favorite examples, actually, and that is John Steinbeck, the author who later won a Nobel Prize, and so he's, a world-acclaimed author. John Steinbeck started his writing life in a very academic sort of way. He did his research. He said, what's going to sell books, and what sort of book should I write? How long should they be? What should they have in them? And so he wrote historical romances based in the 18th century. Well, he wrote four enormous books, huge tomes, and nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted to buy them. And then one day, after he'd written this fourth book, he went off on a self-consoling drunken binge, so the story goes. And whilst he was away, he forgot to feed the dog, and the dog ate his manuscripts, So when he came back, he saw what the dog had done. And instead of saying, I'm going to kick that dog down out of my house, I'm just going to keep on. Instead of that, he said, wait a second. From now on, I'm just going to write about what I want to write about, not worry about whether it's going to sell or not. And that's when he started writing about the people who were near and close to him physically, lived on his doorstep. And that's when suddenly an authentic voice came through and everybody wanted to print what he wrote. Now, I give you that example, and I'm going to contrast it to a more modern example. You know, Oprah Winfrey. She was, a few years ago now, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago perhaps, she was running her talk shows, and she had all sorts of rather unpleasant people on the show, including a bunch of, you know, fascist skinheads. And she said, well, I invited them on because I thought it was good for ratings. And after that show, she said, wait a second. Something inside me tells me I cannot do this. This is repugnant to me. I must do what is true to me. When she did that, all of her bosses said, you know, it'll never sell. Your ratings will tank. But of course, we know differently. We know that that was the point at which she started to develop a really incredible talk show that touched the hearts of millions. Now, both of these people, John Steinbeck and Oprah Winfrey, listened to what their hearts told them and got into that space of being in agreeance, in concord with the universe. And that is when they stopped saying, oh, what is it I have to do to be popular? And they started discovering what it was they were supposed to do for the planet. That's how synchronicity works.
Yeah, I agree with that. I say this a lot. I say the things we think we don't need are the things we need the most. Sometimes you need a good kick, or you need, like, to have written some bad stuff and your dog eat it. I mean, in order to get the point across, I find that to be a synchronicity situation, as well as, and again, it comes, you know, really being self-aware and mindful to what's happening around you. I mean, every day, I wanted to ask you, because I did, you know, I was looking over your book, and thought you had some great stuff in there about to address, like, well, can you give us, I'll go here first, can you give some real life examples, maybe, that you might have had?
Yes, be very happy to, because I think, as you say so accurately, it's about being present and it's about being mindful. And it's also, in both of those terms, it's about being open. So I'll give you my own example, and that is I came to the United States after leaving England, where I had tried to build a career. There were no jobs. And I came to the United States and I thought, okay, I'll look for a job in the Boston area. And I got a reply at the place that I currently teach, Curry College. They said, yes, come and be interviewed. I thought, wonderful, great, terrific. And so I did what everybody who's newly arrived in Boston does, who doesn't have a car and who comes from Europe, you know. I said, oh, public transportation will take me to the campus. But in those pre-internet days, I didn't know. So I got on the subway, and I traveled as close to the campus as I could, and I thought, no trouble, I'll just hail a taxi. Lots of taxis. I get to this corner of town, which it turns out was not a very good corner of town, and I ask, well, where are the taxis? And a gentleman there said, taxis don't come here. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, it's too dangerous. So I said, well, okay, where's the phone? Can I call a taxi? I couldn't get a taxi. It was the bus. Oh, there's no bus. And that was the point at which I was about to go, oh, this is obviously not happening. But I learned something then, and that is keep on. So I started walking towards where I thought the college was. And because I was British and didn't know any better, I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll make it. I'll stick my thumb out to hitchhike. So, yeah, here I am in urban Boston, sticking my thumb out in my best, you know, interview suit, carrying a briefcase. And no sooner had I stuck my thumb out than this car, this huge, as it seemed to me, American car, I think it was a Buick or something, it screeched to a halt beside me. And a lady, a very beautiful lady, said, "Where do you want to go?" And inside the car was all her shopping and a baby. I said, you know, I'm trying to get to Curry College. And she said, well, you're going in completely the wrong direction. She said, hold the baby, hop in, I'll take you there. And I thought, wow, this is great. So I held the baby, and it was very pleasant. And they shopping bags were beside me, and we roared up the road, and she said, well, when do you have to be there? So I said, well, I'm supposed to be there at 1 o'clock. She looked at her watch, and she said, okay, and she put her foot hard down on the accelerator and went through several red lights in order to get me, as a total stranger, to the front door of the college. So I got out and handed the baby back. It was a very lovely baby. And said thank you very much and walked up to the front gate of the college where the security guard greeted me, and he wasn't pleased to see me at all and wasn't going to let me in. And just at that moment, another car came in, and it turned out to be the president of the Alumni Association, and he said, hop in, I'll take you there. You see, I would never have found this place on my own, never. The guard would not have let me in, he wouldn't have given me directions anyway, and as I discovered later, they were repainting the campus, and all the signs had been taken down. So I could not have... You're talking about guardian angels? Yes, please. So he dropped me right at the front door of this place. I was at this point, I looked at my watch, and I was 30 seconds late, I reckon. So I ran in and presented myself to the receptionist, who said, oh, you've got time. Previous candidate isn't out yet. And because I was out of breath, frazzled, confused, and couldn't really believe what was happening to me, when 2 minutes later the door opened and they invited me in, I wasn't my slightly frightened and stiff interview self. I was just me, with my hair sticking out at odd angles, you know, I'm still perspiring. And they asked me, they said, sit down, and we started talking, and in no time at all we were all roaring with laughter. And I got the job.
That's fantastic.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it's a little bit echoing. That was a great example, and it's, I know it's a real story, but that's a great, because without that woman and the baby, and to trust in her, trusting somebody with a thumb out, you wouldn't have ever made it at all.
Exactly. Now, when I tell this story to people, they say, that's it. That didn't happen. You're making it up. I say, no. It happened. I trusted the lady. I trusted whoever came along, because my gut told me it was absolutely okay. And that's what took me into the place of synchronicity. It was almost as though the universe was saying, we need to get you there. Let's do it this way. Just sit back and enjoy the ride.
It's an automatic pilot. That's actually what happens, it sounds like. I'm a little echoing. I'm sorry if the audio's clear.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can now. I missed the first bit of your
sentence. The feedback. Something, synchronicity coming into my feedback. That's a fantastic example, a real story, because it is interesting. And also, that must have been kind of nice for you. Here you are, you know, coming into America, or not America, US of A.
Yeah.
And this is your. This is why you did come from, leaving from England.
Yes.
And it could have gone haywire. The whole thing could have been just an awful experience. So that's when that was the time where you said, when you decided, okay, there's something more here. Is that, and then it was like a new beginning. You started there. You're still there as the professor at the same, correct?
Is this the still same? There at the same place. And I have to say that it's been one of the most extraordinary experiences. Not because, and this is the important thing about synchronicity, not because Curry College is the place that I had imagined for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I had imaginations. I said, oh, I'm in Boston. Surely I'm going to wind up in Harvard. No. Harvard would have been the worst place for me. Curry College turned out to be about the best place I could possibly have imagined, because it allowed me to explore various courses I wanted to teach, to refine my ideas. Sure, I got annoyed with people and they got annoyed with me, but I learned so much more. I couldn't be having this conversation with you now if I hadn't learned all of the things that I needed to learn. In England, I was kind of a stuffy academic. When I came to this country, something in me relaxed and was able to sit back and say, you don't have to force the world to do what you want it to. You have to allow the world, the universe, to guide you. And that means staying open and staying alert. So really, the whole thing, I'm looking back on my life, you know, and I say, yeah, there were some important lessons here that I probably couldn't have learned any other way. The universe needed me to learn those lessons.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it comes back to like how I always, well, I've been saying it for 13 years, what you think you don't need are the things you need, or something you need the most. That college was something exactly what you needed.
Yes, it was exactly what I needed. It wasn't, as I said, what I thought I needed.
Exactly, it wasn't. You know, Harvard or whatever, you know, exactly.
Yeah,
you know, exactly, you know, and that's where something happened to me. And there's somebody in the chat room, named Barbara, and between me and her, the synchronicities go off the scale. But and that's how I got it. So sometimes when I'm just being focused, and it's not magical, you know, like I said, it's almost like part of life. Yeah. I feel, and we don't, you know, we're kind of walking around blind sometimes, mm-hmm. not, you know, not with blinders on, but just kind of blinding our way through thinking, okay, like you said Harvard, ideally, come on, if anybody would want to be at Harvard, perhaps that would, let's say you ended up at Harvard, maybe your whole life would have been different, yes, and maybe we probably wouldn't be talking right now today about synchronicity either, so,
that's right.
I mean, you know, perhaps not, and you might still be a Steffi. No, not you, Alan. But you know, it is those things. So you paid attention, and you were open. Probably
yes.
Didn't know it.
Yeah.
But what did you? You know, I'm curious. Wasn't it kind of interesting? I guess because would this been a year maybe in the 80s or something?
Yes, this was 86. I think yes, 86.
Okay, so we're talking about where cell phones were just not really for everybody, you know, not everybody. We didn't have those things going on for us, and some people did. But and also the internet wasn't something everybody had. And here you are hitchhiking in an area that normally you would – you're a fool. Not only that, is you had a woman with a baby.
Yeah.
All those things to me is just like, that's fantastic.
Well,
and you're going the wrong way too. Before she even told you. I mean,
yes.
Everybody listening, they can't get any better than that. That's a great example. Very good. Do you find that synchronicity, because you're paying attention, you're open, it happens all the time? Maybe little things.
There are little things along the way that little synchronicities let you know that you're doing the right thing, or maybe let you know that you're doing the wrong thing. And we have to listen to them. And I think there's a fine line here between some people are very, very superstitious, and they say, oh, you know, a black cat crossed my path. That's obviously, some would say good luck, some would say bad luck. Well, that's interesting, but I think synchronicity happens in a different way. It happens more at a heart level than at a head level. You just feel that something is right and it needs to be pursued. And then you see something and you say, oh, that's right, yeah. And so that reassures you. And to me, the major crisis, I think, of our time is there are far too many people who use only their heads and not their hearts. And I'm sure you come across this all the time, people who are way too rational and who are not able to be open and loving and use their hearts and indeed to intuit things that otherwise would seem illogical. And I think that's the imbalance that so many people are suffering from. Otherwise, we'd all be saying, oh, synchronicity, of course, you know, it happens to us all. But
You're right. I agree with you. I don't even think there would be a word synchronicity. We'd all, in a perfect world, it would just be what it is. I mean, it would just be as it is. You're right about that. And even with the challenges that people have, well, for me, And I start going, and I, you know, the black hat thing, I mean, that's, everybody, that's ridiculous. But, I mean, the black hat thing is, but it's a lot of times the synchronicities will come and help. I'm using this as an entity, I get, or whatever. Helps you along your lesson when you're really having a rough time, too. Like you were getting to the, you know, some people it's a different type of rough time or challenge. And it's debilitating sometimes, and the synchronicities just boom, boom, boom are there, and it's fantastic. You know, I have somebody, you know, there's four of us host on here.
Yes.
And Stephen, I didn't know if you knew that. I think I told you. There's all these people on. And one of my hosts, Stephen, you can ask that question.
Oh, about the Deus Ex Machina? Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking that every time a synchronicity shows up in a book, it's either, it could be a challenge for the plot, because, you know, if it's a bad synchronicity, then the reader likes it because it produces some new challenge or obstacle for the hero. But if it's a good synchronicity, especially if it comes too far into the story, it feels like a Deus Ex Machina type of situation, you know?
Well, Alan, because you're – thanks, Stephen. Alan, I wanted to ask you about this. Synchronicity in literature, I saw that, you know, in your book, the contents, you know. And I wanted to ask you about – because you're a professor of literature.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you, because you had one thing, it's called synchronicity in literature. Can you explain that?
Yes, well, I think the question is a really good one, because every novel, every play that's ever been written, I think, depends to some extent on a discussion of synchronicity, that people appear in the plot at certain times, and sometimes they are challenges, bad synchronicities, and sometimes they are helpers. And I think in some ways, when writers write, they write about what they feel to be true. Every story has some sort of synchronous part to it. And if I can go back to some of the great stories, if we think about, say, well, think about one of the earliest and greatest stories, the story of Oedipus. Oedipus is a story that is built upon somebody who is trying to avoid fate and the synchronicities in it. So Oedipus is an orphan, and he's told that he will kill his father and marry his mother in the story. And because he doesn't know he's an orphan, that he's been adopted, he runs away from his adoptive parents. And who does he meet on the road? He meets his father, who tries to whip him. So he kills his father, fulfilling the destiny. He travels on to Thebes. He has various adventures. He finds they need a king. He's just defeated the Sphinx. And so he marries this widowed queen who turns out to be his mother. And, you know, that's one of these odd stories that is echoed down now for nearly the best part of 3,000 years. I mean, it's 2,500 years old. And this story is all about someone who is trying to run away from the fate or the synchronicity that has been set up for him. And it seems to me that this is one of the oldest stories, one of the most primal stories that we can return to, because it tells us, don't run away from it. If there is something happening, welcome it in a way that is not resistant. Imagine if Oedipus had said, okay, this is the prophecy, let me explore it in an intelligent fashion, let me ask questions. He may still have found himself in those situations, but perhaps they wouldn't have been quite as dire as they were. If we're looking at literature, I mean, I can give you hundreds of examples, but everybody, I think, knows the story of Hamlet. And Hamlet is told by a ghost, which may or may not be real to him, is told by a ghost that he has to kill his stepfather. Same story, isn't it? And what Hamlet does over and over again is he turns away from people, he turns away from possibilities, and in the end, he winds up hurting just about everybody in the play. And the thought might be there that if he were able to respond to the idea that, oh, there is a current going through life, it looks as though this is the way it's going, perhaps I need to observe rather than take violent random action. So the reason I give you both these examples, the long examples, is that sometimes we feel, because of imperfect information, we feel, all of us, that we have to take violent random action to get what we want. Synchronicity, on the other hand, I think is there to tell us, don't take violent action. In fact, listen to what's around you. Be open, be loving, and be guided by events. So these two major pieces of literature, the two biggest ones in the Western canon, you might say, are both concerned with a discussion of what they call fate and what we are here looking at in terms of synchronicity.
Those are very good examples. I'm echoing again. Is that synchronicity? Alan, I wanted to know, if you hadn't, like, you know, you said it's almost like a timeline, the story, you know, you told us about, you know, getting to the university that where you're at now and all the ways it happened and how it happened. Would you have spoken about this, these, I'm just curious about these examples of these great, you know, like literature in the past, maybe in the 70s? You know, I'm wondering, would you have saw things like that?
Well, I think that's a really good question, because I think if I hadn't been able to have that experience and be open to its meaning, then I would never be able to look at synchronicity as a possibility in the world outside. I just wouldn't be able to. I'd say, wow. Oh, that's luck. Some people have it, some people don't. And that would have been just a huge loss to my entire life.
Well, especially literature-wise speaking, because now you're, I mean, wouldn't that even be more than a loss? It would be a big-time loss, because you're taking, like I said, these, and I thought they were absolutely appropriate, which you brought up, Hamlet. What was the other one? I've heard of it. Yeah. And in fact, so you're able to be even more connected with your, what you're supposed to do in your work, literature. You're able to get even more fulfilled out of now. Yeah. Is that so? Is that truth?
You put it beautifully. Now that I see this pattern is working, suddenly things become so much more, well, rich and wonderful and heartfelt. I mean, if I can give you another example, maybe one that a lot of people know, in the Old Testament of the Bible, there's the story of Jonah and the whale. I don't know if you know it.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, it's a very peculiar story, because Jonah, God tells him to go in one direction, and he says, no, I'm not doing that. So he jumps on a ship that takes him in the opposite direction, and whilst he's on the ship, a storm springs up, and the sailors say, someone here has gone against God. Who is it? Jonah says, it was me. And they say, well, overboard with you. They throw him overboard, and he's swallowed by a whale. And the whale takes him for 3 days right back to where he's supposed to be. And we all look at that story, because it's a very ancient story, and we say, oh, that's a good example of when there is a flow in the universe that is leading you one way, just because it doesn't suit your plans of who you think you ought to be, doesn't mean it's a good idea to run away from it, because it's probably going to shove you back the way you want it to go anyhow.
Yeah.
And the bit that nobody ever follows in this story, the second part of the Noah story, nobody ever talks about this, but it's just as interesting, because when Noah arrives at the place he's supposed to be, the whale spits him out onto the shore, and he says, oh, gosh, I guess I'm supposed to be here. And then God says, go to the people here of Nineveh and tell them that they have to follow me, or I'll destroy their city. So Jonah goes up to the city of Nineveh, and he says to the king, he says, look, I've got bad news for you, chum. My God says that unless you worship him, this entire city is going to be destroyed and you're all going to be dead. And the king is so persuaded that he says, you're absolutely right. You know, you've just been spat up on the shore by a whale here. You know, I'm not going to go against your word. And the whole city converts immediately to that early form of Judaism that they were espousing at the time. And the interesting thing about this story is Jonah's reaction, because Jonah is really annoyed. He said, what, you can't do that? You know, because he was expecting that they would all say, no, 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 and then hellfire would burn up the city and he would be vindicated and he, Jonah, would feel great. Yeah. Instead of which, God says, you know, you converted them all. We don't need to destroy them. And that's a wonderful example of what happens to each and every one of us, because we have ideas, even when we're in the flow, we have ideas about how our lives ought to go. And you know what? That's when we stop listening.
I like to use this word. I concur. That's absolutely really great. I like how you're giving, for anybody that may not, it's very clear and understandable what you're, how you're using these great examples of some of the the stories. I really enjoy. You know, Alan, we're going to take a short break. I think it'll be a good time to do so. Right now, for a commercial break from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com. So we'll be right back, everybody. So one moment, please.
A new era in psychic services has begun. psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
I'm sorry.
Okay, and welcome back, everybody. And we're talking to Dr. Alan Hunter on synchronicity, and it's a fantastic, already fantastic, I feel. So let's move on. Well, actually, we don't have to move on. I wanted to ask you about, and I really appreciate you really giving clarity. I'm sure we have a chat room, Alan, and everybody that's listening in our archives and everything. I feel that you gave a very great. I mean, you really presented it well and clarity about the synchronicity. Like I said, that word is so trendy. It really is right now, the synchronicity. It's like, you know, I'm eccentric and that's all good now. It used to be I'm crazy bizarre, but now I'm just an eccentric. So that's really cool. But synchronicity has become very much, I've noticed in the past 10 years or 5 years, everybody's now talking about that. It's the word, you know, but it is what it is. But you talk about 8 barriers of synchronicity.
Yes. There
Can you explain that, what that is?
There are at least 8 barriers. I chose 8 because that's a good round number. I'm sure people can find other barriers to synchronicity. But these are the messages that we tell ourselves. We frequently find that we limit ourselves, and if I can just sort of spell them out, the 8 that I've got is one of the things that stops us being in the flow and stops us, as it were, giving ourselves imaginatively to synchronicity is the language we use. And as you say, the word synchronicity has been buzzed around a lot, and people don't really understand it, but then they tend to say things like, oh, that happens to other people. And when we use language like that, we're actually putting ourselves down. And when we put ourselves down, we are closing our minds. So that's one of the barriers to synchronicity. Another barrier to synchronicity, strangely enough, is the messages that we picked up in the past. And at school, we were always told to be reasonable, rational, and follow the rules. Well, you know, if you follow the rules, if you follow conventional wisdom, what you'll get is a conventional outcome. And who wants to be conventional? But yet, that's what we were trained to be. So that's the second of the 8 barriers. You know, the way we treat our own bodies. We don't often treat our own bodies very well. We eat junk. We don't exercise. When we have a pain, we take painkillers as opposed to finding out what's wrong. And all of this is a way of disrespecting our bodies. Now, if we disrespect our bodies, you can bet your bottom dollar you're disrespecting your intuition and your heart. And so these are the strong ways that we divert ourselves from any awareness that there is anything bigger happening than just our little concerns of every day. You know, sometimes even the best things, things like love, can get in the way of synchronicity because we have preconceptions about what love ought to be, and they get in the way of what love actually is. I'll give you an example here. You know, my wife, with whom I've been now for over 20 years, when I first met her, one of the first things she said was, you know, I have two children. And synchronicity came to my aid, and I just said, oh, I think that's really wonderful. I'd love to meet them. I don't know where those words came from. But I do know that if I'd been back in England, and if I'd been looking around for a suitable spouse or partner, and that spouse had said, oh, I've already got two children, it might have put me off a little. It might have closed my mind to real love. And, you know, I have to say, those two children have been the most marvelous thing in my life alongside of my wife. But that's love nice. And the way we conceive it to be sometimes gets in the way of what is real love.
I agree. That's lovely what you just said about your. I don't like saying stepchildren. There's a better way. Isn't there a better way of saying your? I don't know. Maybe some word we can find out what to say. Because they're not. Well, that's lovely how you put. You know, it's about people conform to what our conditions are and all that. You're right, and. Mm-hmm. And those of us who don't are just called crazy mental cases throughout their lives, you know, at a young age. But I'm referring to myself, of course. But
referring to myself, too.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting because, like you said, you're in the academics. And whereas I didn't go that – well, I'm intelligent. But that I always find it fascinating because – and I'm sorry I interrupted you because you were on only the fourth barrier, weren't you?
No, it's like, do finish what you're saying because it sounds fascinating.
Well, what I'm saying is, for instance, my daughter just graduated from UCSD, which is a very well-known college out here in California, university, and she went into studying the brain, and she graduated, but her journey led her to not being wanting to be a MD and using that, but she decided to go into the mindfulness. Actually, that is what she's going to go towards a degree. And it's interesting because here she's an academic, different than her mother, like, in a way. But she's coming over to my world, too.
Good. Yeah.
And that generation's changing, going to change our whole, you know, it's lovely to watch. Haven't you noticed it? I mean, being a professor.
Yes, I have. You know, one of the sometimes alarming things is, like, I ask my students in the first year or so, I say, well, you know, what do you see yourself doing? Many of them say, I just want to make a lot of money and retire early and have a big sailboat. And after they've been through several of my classes, with luck, they're starting to say things like, well, you know, I'd still like to earn some money, but there are a few things that I'd like to explore first. And I think this is the basis of a real education. Mm-hmm. People who earn skills and can earn a lot of money with those skills, that's great. You know, that's highly instructed, but that's not highly educated. I think education opens our minds up to those things that may seem to be, as I said earlier, more of the heart. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things on my list here of the eight barriers, one of the biggest barriers is work. Because everybody tells you, take the good job, take the safe job, take the one with the pension plan, take the one that's, you know, train for this job, train for this. And you're going to be there for 30, 40 years just for the paycheck? Well, perhaps work is the thing we should rebel against. Many of the people I've come into contact with, we sometimes find ourselves swapping stories. You know, how did you get here? And almost all of them said, well, I trained as this, and then I said, I can't do that. I have to do this, and I've been happy ever since. And that is the story of so many people's lives. When they realize that work and the expectations of their friends and their family, who are two very loving bunches of people, but they can cause us to conform. And your daughter, beautiful example, she said, oh, okay, here I am, I'm training in neuroscience, and I think it doesn't quite match who I am and what I know. She's following her intuition, she's following her heart. She's going to be in a better place in terms of her heart, but who knows what her earning income may be. It may be more, it may be less, it may be exactly the same.
Actually, that she, I use her as an example quite a bit because she has a mom like me, and she was raised singly by me. And the thing of it's with my work, you know, I'm a big Jungian person. Carl Jung, I just think he's the bee's knees, is what you call it. Yes. And, you know, he talks about the thing about work, about if everybody just did what they're supposed to just did the work, whatever that might be, we would all be in a real much better place. If maybe the corporate executive is not supposed to be, but he was conformed, or he thought that was it, like we just spoke about that stuff. For me, my work wasn't like I picked it. It wasn't like, this is not what I wanted to do, but I must do it. This is my work. This is what I'm supposed to do. So I've been doing it for 25 years, but it has been it's been difficult, struggling, and been, told I'm this or that. It doesn't matter, but it did. But so when I hear her doing what she's doing, it's almost like I feel that there's going to be a much better place coming, even more so we're heading towards, for everybody. I don't know if you get backlashed. I don't know. Some maybe other professors might think, or they're humored by your way. I don't know. But
at one level, I'm sure they do. I'm sure many people in my own college and in my life say, oh, goodness me, he's writing about synchronicity. Oh, but it doesn't, so what? That doesn't impact me. It doesn't change the way I feel about what I do. Every single one of my 12 books, I have to tell you, came to me and said, write me. And I tended to say, go away. Writing's hard work. I don't like it. Go away. And they would not leave me alone until I had written them. And having written them, I say to myself, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to help bring this planet, if I can, to a little bit of a better space, and to do it without worrying too much what the doubters and the naysayers say. And that's what you're doing too. You just described how some people say, she's too eccentric, and who would have chosen that? Well, God bless you. You've chosen it, and you're doing it.
Well, yeah, it shows. It hit me like a brick wall, and I try to run from it. That's what we do. But when you look back, it's all secret. I know how I got there. But Andrew, I wanted to ask you if you could tell us about your 12 books. We have about, I don't know, I think we have about 8 minutes. I want to make sure because I looked through your books. I haven't read them, but boy, I sure want to read, I think, all of them. I looked over, and I wanted you to tell us about your other books that you have authored, if you don't mind.
Well, I'll have to speak very fast, but one of the things, this recent spate of books came out of my love of literature and the fact that we can use literature and writing to understand ourselves better. And so in 2008, I published this book called Stories We Need to Know. And I suggested there is ancient wisdom in the stories that make up 3,000 years of the Western canon, and that in that series of stories, there are six huge archetypes that tell us how we can grow. And all the stories for 3,000 years here in the West, all of the major ones, have the same six archetypes. And the hero is always asked, do you want to grow through these archetypes? So that was Stories We Need to Know, which later spawned a second book, which is called The Six Archetypes of Love. Because not all of us fall in love in the same way, at the same level. In fact, some of us stay stuck at one level, always dating the same person over and over, even though he or she looks different, it's the same person. So after I wrote The Six Archetypes of Love, I went back to, obviously directly to literature, because I looked at Disney's versions of the Grimm Brothers' tales. And that book was called Princes, Frogs, and Ugly Sisters. And the subtitle is The Healing Value of the Grimm Brothers' Tales. These are all on my website, by the way. With you can see opening chapters and reviews and so on. AlanHunter.net, A-L-L-A-N. So that book took the Grimm Brothers' tales and said, look, here are these wonderful six archetypes. These are instructional tales that can tell us about the deepest parts of ourselves and tell us about synchronicity, too. After that, I wrote Synchronicity because it seemed to me there was a lot there that needed to be cleared up. And following that, I wrote a book called Spiritual Hunger, because I see there is so much spiritual hunger, and so many people fill it up with shopping, overeating, compulsive activities, drugs, you name it. And I suggested there is a way we can move ourselves forward. We can move ourselves forward. We don't have to wait for someone to put us in a program. So that's kind of a guidebook to staying sane in difficult times. The most recent book this year is called Gratitude and Beyond. Because when we're truly grateful, guess what happens? We go on a little journey through five insights that I mentioned, and this journey reduces our egos, our little active, wounded egos that want the better job, you know, that want all the shiny toys, and they lead us back to a place of real understanding and love. That's Gratitude and Beyond, which came out this year. So those are the most recent books since 2008. And I think that's about as much time as I'll have to speak about.
I know, Alan. I love the word gratitude. I know, you know, being grateful, and I'm in so much gratitude. And sometimes I'm just frustrated. I'm a whacked out mess, but that's why I, of course, you know, in the work we do. But you know, I was looking over the books, and I was like, they're just all the title itself, but I could feel that. They all kind of flow in together. Everything, yes. To me, that's where I'm standing. And I'm going to read. It's not just about synchronicity I want to read, but I did look over the other ones, the ones on Amazon. And I don't know how you have time to do all this, but do you refer your students to some of these books of yours? Or do you give them out for...
Yeah, I teach classes on the Grimm Brothers' tales specifically because I want them to learn that there is another version that is not the Disney version, that is rather prettified. And they come out of that course going, wow, I never thought about this before.
In fact, I just want to say, because we don't have much time, but I do want to point out the Grimms. I have some of those. They clean those tales up, everybody. Believe me, they clean them up for us little, you know, everybody. They're intense. I know what when you brought that up, because there's someone, Dr. Clarissa Piccoli Estes.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know who she is?
I know her work, yes, I've never met her.
Yeah, and she does a lot of, and she's a story, she's fantastic. But when you brought that up, it reminds me, so she uses archetypes, so she's a union psychoanalyst too, but she's fantastic, but she talks about, you know, she uses these stories, but a lot of them go back into the Grimms.
Yes.
And just when you were talking about that, and then I lost myself in a minute. and people are just amazed at, like I said, I have this book here this is a book before they were cleaned up. And there's some pretty intense stuff that people don't maybe want to even believe me, but you know what I'm talking about.
I mean, there are themes of nasty things like incest and attempted rape and
awful, lots of things.
Awful stuff, but of course it happens today and it happened then and it's happened for thousands of years. And the tales were there to say, if this is happening around you, here are some instructions for how to deal with it, how to understand it. And the fact that Disney decided to market it to 7-year-old girls so they could sell pink frilly dresses, attractive as those pink frilly dresses may seem when you're age 7, it's not a great way to go through adult life. And the Grimm tales were for people of all ages, not just for children.
Exactly. And many people don't know this. It's interesting, but when you brought that up, I go, well, that's a synchronicity, because I go, not too many people, when I've brought that up to them, they don't even know what I'm talking about. Idea. Well, you just talked about it, so I knew I was gonna just love having you on, having you and you accepted as a guest, and that's a synchronicity. Everybody, right there, you know, Alan. I wasn't sure. I was a little bit behind on my shows and guests and such, and I was just, I don't know how I ended up over to Amazon. It wasn't like I wanted to go there, and I just happened across your books. It wasn't synchronicity either. So your name, the books, and that's how it happened. And then I contacted you, and you said yes immediately. And it's like, oh, my gosh. It's like, and it was fantastic. And it was like, unrelated, I don't know. And there I found you. And that, to me, that was a synchronicity. And what you brought up tonight, I feel for my hosts, they've been typing in stuff to me. They're really, and I don't resonate, I don't like use that word, they're really connecting with what you've been talking about, and I'm sure everybody listening is, and you clarify things so well. And I, for myself personally, I really appreciate it, because I needed to hear some things that even I know, but you know, sometimes my head takes off. I mean, it doesn't take off, and thoughts get in the way. And I really appreciate you tonight going and talking about all this with us, where you're coming from too. I really appreciate it much, and heartfeltly so.
Well, I'm so grateful to be invited onto your show and to discover that you're a person who speaks exactly the same language as I do. I feel we really understand each other here.
Yeah, I would love to have you come back. Well, I'll get in touch with you about that later. And is there anything? Oh, yes, on your guest page, also, everybody, you can, you know, Alan's website is also on there. We have some of your books on there, I think 10 of them. I don't know. But you can go to alanhunter.net, and that's your website, yes. But it's also, anybody, go to the guest page, go to Alan Hunter, and you'll see that as well. So, Alan, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this interview, and I really appreciate you and who you are and what you're doing and the difference you're making.
Well, you're the one who's making a difference in the world, you know. I, my voice wouldn't be heard out there but for you. So I am profoundly grateful for you, the good work you do, and for your invitation to be on your show. It's been such fun.
And you know, I'm sure the people that you teach, I'm sure that, like I said, you're making a real big difference, because there's many that come through your class, and I think that's I think is fantastic right there. So, well, good night, Alan, and thank you for sharing everything in yourself, and I will talk to you soon.
I will look forward to that very much. Thank you again. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Alan. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, everybody. So I really, really enjoyed that interview.
I did as well. Really, really great guy. Really knowledgeable, and you know, guy that has qualifications in literature from Oxford. Yeah. Knows his stuff. It's almost impossible to get into Oxford to study literature. Really genuine.
Really? Wow. That's impressive.
But British people are wonderful, aren't
they? Yeah,
they
are.
Let's be honest.
They're just way above us.
I love it when we have a British person.
Well, I you know, like synchronicity, I was thinking, probably had you on my mind back there. It was odd, and he immediately, I didn't, like I said, it was odd because I connected with him through Facebook, which I rarely do, but I couldn't find, I don't know why, but, and he never connected with me through email, first person guest ever, but he was immediately, yes, I would love to do your show, and I was like up against the clock, and the clock tick tock tick. Anyway, I really thought he was something, and truly somebody that is definitely yet again another individual in another field. He's not a psychic, he's not anything like that. So, you know, but someone that's making a great big difference among, we all are. We're all connected. It doesn't matter what we do. And no, Steve, don't do that, what you were talking about. Don't go there. don't go there. Okay. So anyway, I would like to to learn more about Alan Hunter, Dr. Alan Hunter, you can go to his website at alanhunter.net. And so I'd like to take a few moments to or a few moments. Moments could be hours, you guys, but it's a few moments to make a few announcements or take a moment. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half, as you all know, after our banter, to get... Is that you I hear, Brenda?
Oh, is that me? Oh, no.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I just had to say it. You walked right into that one for me. Anyway, the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce that call-in number later in the show, so be sure to stay to have a pen and paper and pencil ready. And also, everybody in chat room, thank you. I really appreciate you being here. We all do. So if you were unable to catch our last week's show on cosmic weather, you will find a recorded archive linked as well as other all the archives since day one of the previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the archives tab. So please circulate the archives link and future show details to your friends and families. And to their animal friends, too, because I know that they would like to hear. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible. So please share that link with others. And I know you all are. We know who you are that are doing so. But so please visit. You know, please be sure to visit. This is a fantastic site. It's called psychicbloggers.com. This is a site that you can learn about everything from paranormal reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development and to... And there's experience, everything. I mean, there's so many, and all the authors of the blogs over there are also at psychicaccess.com. So it's really good information. If you're interested in reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accurately tested psychics like ourselves, each with their own unique gifts, and each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them. And also, all of us have a video, which is the most, I think, is the best thing about it. So you can hear us and look at us and see us. And you can help choose from that, too, as well. So the most authentic psychics around, and I've been around a long time, because I've been around a long time, and I agree that they are. It's not just because I'm over there. It is an honor working with Doug, and I've been working with Doug for a decade. Yeah, a decade. And Psychic Access, because of the high expectations required by each psychic that he does expect, which he should. So that's a direct reflection on us being so good. So all of us here are at psychicaccess.com, all the hosts. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would all love to hear from you. Site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com. Oh, I always say it's wrong. Slash webmasters. You can also find that if you go to psychicaccess.com, and you'll see on the left-hand side for people that want to get involved with our affiliate program. So if you'd like our show, please invite your friends again and their dogs and cats to join us in our chat room. We have a fantastic chat room to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint Live. There is something, again, for everyone and everybody in the chat room. Hello out there, and you're all wonderful, and we always appreciate you coming. Everybody's lovely, and they're welcoming. So it's a really great experience, just to let you know. So I'm going to give the call-in number right now, and it goes like this. If somebody wants to type it in, or I can do it, one thing. The phone line opens around 9:16 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, give or take a minute, and the phone number is 724-444-4851. But remember, do not call right now. You need to wait, or else you won't get through to anything. And so now we get to the great part. It's called banter time. It's called, what's the word? I was talking about fencing the other night. Okay, who's up for banter? Raise your hands. Steven.
Always.
Steve, you're next. You're up. Steve, he said it first. The English. There you go. Steve, so what's up? What do you think? Don't do it.
I really enjoyed it. I think he's a really smart guy, and I loved the references to literature, because the more I study, the more I see that the metaphysical truth lies everywhere, and particularly in literature. If you think of just Shakespeare's and the comment in Hamlet, there are more things, Horatio, in Heaven and Earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy. It's an exact reference to the fact that there's far more to this than we realize, or far more than is in our current paradigm. And that, you know, we've got a show coming up, Biblical Metaphysics, with Linda Oglesby, which will just be brilliant because she's going to be talking about the Bible and the fact that there's metaphysical truth in the Bible. So I loved his intelligence, and I loved the linkages between our beliefs, our knowledge, our knowing of metaphysics and literature. It was really music to my ears.
You know, I never thought about the literature and synchronicity together, interestingly enough. Isn't that funny? Well, it's not funny because I'm not, because I was never read to Mother, when, if you're listening to this, when I was a little girl. But no offense. But anyway, I liked how, you know what I really liked about how he was? He's the academic. Like I said, he's not a psychic. He's not intuitive. Well, we're all intuitives. Okay, we all are. We all have psychic ability. But the fact that he is his story, and his, when I say that, I mean true story. You know, Steve, when he was talking about how he ended up where he did, he's still there. And all those things that happened, ironically, synchronicity, that's where he's supposed to be. And he's teaching these students, you know, that come in there with the same type of conforming and all that. And what a difference. And he's been there for a long time. So each group of students that go through him, or as a taking his courses, I think are getting so much. They don't even probably know, some of them right now, how cool, how much benefit it's going to benefit their lives, and amongst and they'll help other people's lives. So we all can just come together and knock it off with all the stuff. Now, don't you think about that because of his academic, because of his work that he does?
Absolutely, really smart guy.
Yeah,
really, really smart guy, really well researched.
Yes. And yes, very honest, and yeah, great. Okay, thanks, Steve, for your input. And okay, let's see, Stephen, Brenda, Stephen. There, Stephen.
Hello.
He jumped on it.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed this show as well. Synchronicity is such a vital concept to reading the tarot. It's one of the important mechanisms that helps the tarot to work. You know, and it's really one of those things that is deceptively easy to understand on the surface, because we've all experienced a synchronicity, but the concept behind it is actually very complex in the sense that synchronicity relies on this intricately structured network of minds that are all interconnected. You see, and which gives rise to events that actually don't have a cause in the natural world. I mean, to me, that's just absolutely fascinating stuff. I just love it.
Yeah, it's all about stuff, isn't it? Stephen, you know, I like messing with you. You know, I'm just hanging.
I love it. You know, I got a chain. I got a chain. I want it to be tugged on all the time.
You want to be yanked. Because, absolutely. You know, I'm just teasing. When I say that, it's all with love and caring heart.
Of course, it's a loving chain.
It's a loving teasing. Yeah, I know, and I love your passion. It's great, and you asked a really good question too, by the way. Well, and it led right into the question I wanted to ask. And it was like, that was synchronicity. It was perfect.
Yes, it was. I think one of the reasons that we love this topic so much is because synchronistic events, they illustrate a deeper pattern, a deeper framework that encompasses the observable events in our lives. And it's that deeper sense of order that I think really is attractive to people, you know. And it's also vital to the definition of synchronicity.
Mm-hmm. Synchronicity.
You can say it, Stephen.
Come on, say it.
I can't spell it. It's a 50-cent word.
Yeah, no, it's one of the words that it's just become very trendy. It's always been. Well, Brenda, what do you think? How are you doing?
You know, when I was listening, first of all, he was fascinating, and he really dug into the subject from all different angles. But sometimes when I'm listening to interviews like that, I try to break it down in the most simple fashion. In the simple explanation that I understand, you know, if I was to look at it and explain it to some somebody.
How would you?
Well, it's about patterns, and he talked about patterns, you know. But I would explain it as a like attracts like. I mean, it really is a basic, to me, as like attracts like in the universal, you know, the universal energies on many levels, you know, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And that's where all these types of synchronicities occur, because in all of our work and in all the things in the complete model are on all those three levels. And, you know, there are reflections from one to the other, because they're all based on universal truths. And so for me, it made a lot of sense. It reminded me of, you know, the concept of magic, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basic, you know, not magic like, oh, we're doing a spell type thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Magic in the sense where, you know, it occurs naturally. It's not something forced. It's something that occurs naturally because it's going somewhere. It's got a purpose.
Right. You know, that's why when I was talking to him, I don't know if I even, because I'm from Atlantis, I don't talk very well. But I almost feel like, you know, the synchronicity became such a trendy word. And it's been, I think it's not about, I feel that it's going on all the time, but we're just, now this is just my view, everybody. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. But a lot of people don't get it, or they're not self-aware, not mindful about what's happening, or they're hung up on this word they don't want to use, or it's, you know, whatever.
It can be simplified.
It's part of our human DNA, I think. It's part of what
it is inherent in our DNA, especially inherent in the DNA of someone who's sensitive, empath, psychic, because when we're giving our readings and we give a prediction, that's a prediction that happens. That's a synchronicity right there.
That's true. That's very true. What I liked about what he brought up was that he, because of the academic mind frame he's coming from, he did not, like he said, didn't think much of whatever that word was until he experienced. It was like his time. It was about timing.
It was his epiphany that he had.
It was, right. But at least he was open to it. Now, this is the thing, everybody. That's why I say I don't believe anything. All I know is what I know, but I'm open to anything. So the thing of it is, that's where more people should feel okay. It's okay to be open to things, even if you don't get it, or if you want to judge it, just kind of like put it aside, everybody.
Well, you'll die a slow death spiritually, emotionally, and even physically if you close yourself off to those energies of the superconsciousness. Because we're sensitives and we work in this realm all the time, you know, there's no coincidence or you know what I'm talking about?
Right, absolutely.
You're reading somebody and I'm reading somebody that we come up with the same thing for that person, and we've talked to them weeks apart or days apart, or you know what I mean? Because we're not, I didn't call you and say, oh, Maureen, if you talk to so-and-so,
that's
tell her blah, blah, blah. No,
we don't do that.
The same thing because it exists out there in the superconsciousness.
Yes, and we're part of maybe, you know, I'm glad you brought that up real quick about you guys, because I know, Brenda, for you and I, we've had some people that come to us in the past that would come to you or I pretty much, and I know sometimes they would ask, do you talk to each other? No, we don't do that.
Exactly. No, do you keep notes or
notes? No, we don't. And that's our word against their. No, we don't do that. And it's funny because we keep notes. No, that's exactly how we get it. And it's that's a good point. And you know, another thing, like I said to him, things we think we don't need are things we need the most. Right now I'm going through something, but it's almost like it's come full circle where I'm living. And something's given me a good kick in the butt. Even though it's uncomfortable, I don't want it, but I think it's the best thing for me to start or go somewhere fresh. Ever since, you know, the death of my dad and all that, everything.
There's a lesson in that. Otherwise,
there is.
Take the lesson. If it didn't hit you on the back of the head, you wouldn't have the lesson.
At least I'm not getting, you know, no one's, someone up there, whoever, you know, I think there's, is not, oh, we have a caller now. Okay, but I'm going to, thank you, Brenda, for that interaction. We have a caller, but before we get to that call, real quick, I do want to say this before we begin, and hold on, caller from Pennsylvania, for Stephen, is that, We're going to take calls now, and everybody, you can please note that if you could just keep it, we would like just one direct question because of our time restraint here. And when you do call in, you'll hear, you won't have a person greet you. You'll just hear the you know, radio. Just hang in there. It means you're in line. And there you have it. And we have to do callers first. Chat, if we have any time, we can do that. We're not sure. So, Stephen, call from Pennsylvania for you.
Thank you, Maureen. Hello. Who am I speaking with in Pennsylvania?
This is Penny. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Penny. How may I help you this evening?
I was wondering if you could tell me if there is anybody coming into my life.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to help you with that, okay? One second while I pick up on your romantic energy here. Is there anyone coming into her life? Is there anyone coming into her life? Yes, well, I see in the next 6 months that there is a definite, distinct chance that you will meet someone significant and important for romance, you see, not just a platonic friendship. Furthermore, I see that you're going to attract this gentleman through passivity, through quietness, in other words. You're going to exert a certain magnetic pull over this man. I see him as being either a Sagittarius or having a Sagittarian temperament, do you see? He might not be a Sagittarius by sun sign, but he'll have certainly the temperament of a Sagittarius. Now, what do I mean by that? It means he'll be a man who won't be either completely an intellectual or completely emotional, okay? He'll be a good mixture of the intellect and the emotion. He's going to be sort of a no-nonsense kind of guy in the sense that he's not going to sugarfoot things or pussyfoot around. This is so that you'll be able to recognize him when you come across him, okay? He's going to be sort of aggressive, sort of impulsive, do you see? So he's going to be very much like a Sagittarius. He could even be a foreigner of some sort or from a different state than you because, again, Sagittarius deals with long distance, long distances, that sort of thing. But I do see this happening within 6 months' time, to tell you, to be quite frank.
It's not someone that is around me now, then. He doesn't live in my state now.
Well, I wouldn't say that he doesn't live in your state now, but what I'm saying is that you'll see that his origins are from a place far away from your state. So he could be living in your state for the past 25 years, but maybe he was born in Croatia, for example, or maybe he was born, you know, in California, for example, something along those lines. It wouldn't surprise me. Also, I'm picking up on the fact that he might be involved somehow with the legal profession or maybe education. And this could be anything ranging from a school bus driver to the board of directors for the board of education or whatever. You know, a principal or professor or cop or clerk. Something touching along in those areas, do you see? So, and I see this happening within six months' time. And I see also that you're going to be kind of hard on him at first, believe it or not. This might be one of those romances that has its beginnings in strife or hardship. Like maybe a cop writes you a ticket and then asks you out to dinner after writing the ticket or something. So I see it happening out of some sort of a hardship like that. You know, not a major hardship, but I see you being pretty happy in about 6 months' time, Penny.
That 6 more months, okay.
Well, it could happen before then. It's not. I'm not like the groundhog coming out of his shell and saying, "Oh, 6 more weeks of winter." You know, it could happen before then.
No. It's been a long road. It's just been a long road.
Well, you know, hang in there, and it's going to. You know, you're going to meet someone very interesting. 6 months is the limit on that, okay? That seems to be the outside boundary. So it could easily happen sometime this autumn, actually.
You know? Okay.
You got that coming your way, Penny.
Great
reading,
Stephen.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. That was great. And, you know, anybody that's calling in or can be also reach us at psychicaccess.com further, or if you'd like to speak to anyone else or anybody else. And we have Brenda, Florida, for you.
Hi, Florida. How are you doing? What can I do for you this evening? Hello? Hello, Florida? Hello, hello?
There is a Florida, but it's Amy or Summer. My number, my name is Summer on there, but my real name's Amy. But what was the name you're asking?
Hi, Amy.
For?
What can I do for you today?
I was going to ask the same thing. Will I be meeting a man in my life for a long-term relationship? I don't know about marriage. I've been there before. I don't know that I want to go there again. But if they're treating my children right, I most definitely would be interested in getting married again. And any children in the future, do you see?
Okay, let's take a peek. Oh, the very first thing I see is a man. There's a man that came, and he's younger than you, not by much. His name begins with a J, and he works in some kind of profession that has to do with protection. So it could be law, it could be something having to do with security, but that's what I see. You're going to meet him through a group of friends, and not family, but friends or acquaintances. And it looks like it's about 4 months away, I have to tell you honestly. Now, one of the things I see here is it's definitely a new beginning for you in the area of love. The love vibration is around you this month, and it continues for the next 4 months. And you've really laid to rest a relationship from the past, and that's why I see that this is coming in for you so strong, because the universe is recognizing you as being available, whereas you weren't. You kind of could have been thinking about the conflict with the person from the past, and I really do see, and the person who's coming in is, I really do see him as a take charge kind of guy, but not aggressive, not in a pushy way, but in a way where, you know, you can begin to trust. It's hard to trust somebody these days. And you've definitely gone back and forth with some of these men that you've met and some of the relationships with people that are, that you know. No, I definitely see, and you're going to fall in love. The marriage thing, when I look into him, I see that he, that's what he wants. He wants a commitment. He wants to make it official. So it'll be up to you if you want to go down that path, is what I see.
Okay. Any abuse? I mean, does he seem to be abusive? That's all I've ever been in, is abusive relationships. And I've kept my distance in dating and all that due to that.
I don't see him as an abusive person. As a matter of fact, I see that he's a protective type of person. He's a strong person, but he's a protective type person. He's a little bit younger than you, maybe 3 to 4 years younger than you.
3 to 4 years younger. Okay. And any children do you see me having with him?
I am looking into this, and I see that you may decide, both of you, because I see that he has kids of his own, not to have kids, any more kids. And that's okay.
Yeah, he does have kids.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know how many?
You know, he likes kids, and I see that, and I think that that's important, you know, that he knows how to treat kids and be around kids.
But you don't know how many he has.
Oh, he has two. He has two.
He has two.
And he sees them part-time with an ex, but it feels like the ex is many years ago.
Okay.
I don't see it as a drama, in other words. It looks like it's worked itself out.
And financially stable with this one?
Well, he's not uber rich. It looks like he does okay.
Just stable. I mean, just financially stable. Rich is not one of my.
Looks like he does okay. It looks like he's been in his job for a while. It's a type of a job that has benefits, that type of thing. It's very regimented.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Hang in there.
Thank you, sweetheart. Have a good one.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Brenda, and thank you, caller. And anybody that would like to speak further to Brenda, or any. When else over at psychicaccess.com, please feel free to do so. Steve, you have a call from New York.
Thank you, Maureen. Who's calling from New York?
Oh, yes, this is Holly.
Hello, Holly. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, so what happened today is I decided I've been in a repeat cycle. It came very clear to me. of getting these jobs that either don't work out or don't give me a paycheck, you know, some scandalous jobs. And I've been in a cycle of poverty since this college fraud event for about a year and a half. And I'm back to square one again. I was working a job, thought I got a new good job, put the 2 week in there, and it all came crashing down today. That this job is not a stable job, and I'm back to square one, unemployed. I signed up for a policing exam. That's not for another couple of months. And law enforcement, there's a lot of examination, so I don't know. You really can't predict the outcome. It's, you know, not as easy to get in law enforcement as other jobs. I've got 7 years of education, a boatloads of skill. What is it that I need to do to obtain a secure, stable job where I can have at least, you know, half an ounce of fulfillment?
Okay, well, the first thing is, I mean, I'm looking at the cards, and I can see that it's been falling apart, and I feel for you. But I do feel that you've been very genuine in your desire to find an opportunity, and I feel like you've got a lot to contribute. The good news is it'll work out for you. The cards associated with the future are good. So I do feel that you'll have a role and a career that is fulfilling, and I can see that you'll move through this. Now, I don't feel that it's going to sort itself overnight. I feel that you're probably going to have to take another opportunity before you actually find or accept the opportunity that's really right for you in the long term. So I feel like you've got to sort of knuckle down and accept that you're not going to get the perfect opportunity right now. But I do feel it comes in the springtime. I feel that you'll be very excited, and it's something that's very fulfilling. Until then, part of the challenge is really the way you're going about this. I don't feel that you've had the right vision, structure, and plans in place. So my guides are indicating that you need to accept that you're going to have to do a job or two that aren't your ideal roles until spring. But in that time, you need to really get clarity about what it is you want to be doing. I do feel that the police force is a great option for you, but I don't feel that you are fully aware of that path or how to go about that path. So in a nutshell, yes, it's been tough. You feel like you're back at square one, but you're not, because this time you're much clearer about what you actually want, and you're prepared to go after it. So you need to look for opportunities in the near term that can help you to pay bills, etc.
I've been a little bit more realistic and a little bit more clearer and a little bit more, I'd have to say, particular about what I've applied to. So for the past 2 days, I've been more careful. I mean, do you have a timing frame? Because when this temporary job might come into manifestation?
I'm drawn to 3 weeks. So I feel that you'll have an opportunity. You'll start a role in 3 weeks. And I don't feel that you'll be out of work between then and spring. But I feel that even when you take that opportunity, it's something that's temporary. And you really need to focus on what you truly want. And it feels like the police force is a really sincere path for you. So I feel like you need to go after that path seriously. Just accept that you're going to take something in about 3 weeks that will keep you going until then.
I'm taking an exam soon in a couple of months, and I've got all my education is all forensic psych and criminal justice. What is your name?
Steve.
Steven?
Steve.
Yeah, I'm going to remember you. Thank you so much, Steve. And I will definitely see if I can call to give you feedback on your predictions as well. And
oh, wonderful.
I do thank
everybody.
You.
And if we can help any more, you can contact us at psychicaccess.com as well.
Absolutely. I have a login. So thank all of you for offering your expertise. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
All right. Take good care. Bye.
fantastic, Steve. Very good. We like to hear that. Okay, for me, Iowa. I believe it's hello, Iowa. How are you? I know your name's not that, but Iowa. Hello. Good evening, Alfred Hitchcock. Hello. I know they're there. Wait for it. Hello, Iowa.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
There. What's your name, please?
I'm Maggie's mom.
Hi, Maggie's mom. Do you have a... You're sweet. What's your name?
Gail.
Gail? Gail?
Yes. Yes.
Well, hi, Gail. I'm Maureen. And so what can I help you with?
I have a question about my children.
Okay.
I have four. Okay. Two girls, two boys. And I just have some questions and some issues going on.
Okay. Because of our time restraint on the callers, we get so many. Can you... I have to ask you to keep it to one direct... I know four boys, you said. One direct...
Yeah.
Oh, great,
okay.
Because I can help you better.
My youngest son.
Okay. And, okay, so you have a concern, or you're, or is he being guided? Okay, do you want me to look into?
Yes, I have a concern as to which way his life is heading.
Okay, got it. Because you're kind of thinking maybe, okay, is he young, is he like right under 20, or is he in his 20s? How old is he?
He's in his mid-30s.
Oh, okay. Got it. You know, it's interesting because this is what I'm getting. It does look like there's been a lot of commotion around his work, anything to do with his work energy. There's chaos. There's stuff going on, and it's just surrounding him. So there's something within his work, and it's not his fault this is going on, but he's... You know, he's a good guy, and I feel that he's very I get this energy that he's very sensitive too.
Yes,
with his intuition. That can be difficult in the world that we live in. But this work, I don't know what's happening, but it's almost like, you know, any commotion, there's changing, there's downsizing, something recently, like real recently. Was his job, was something going on in the company? I don't know. It was just like people are just at each other and just so much intensity.
He did lose his job.
Okay. That's a bummer. But, you know, is that what you're, you know, I'm wondering, is that, Gail, is that the concern you're having of the direction of if he's going to be a upstanding adult with his, you know, because I'm seeing here also that it looks like he's... I mean, he's heading this direction. I see him really connected with a wonderful person in a relationship. Really positive.
Mm-hmm.
Very nurturing, and also...
Well, if he does, I don't know about it.
Well, could there be a... You know, the thing of it is, if he lost his job, a lot of people won't... You know, sometimes... You know, it's interesting because I'm not getting the in between pieces, but a lot of times that will make you feel inadequate. Your self-esteem goes down, but with this, I feel that I just see in the next, let's put it this way, couple of weeks, I feel I'm seeing is I see him connected with a female. Well, it's so positive, it's so healthy, it's very good, it's very nurturing. It has nothing to do with if he has a job or not. It's somebody. You know, and I'm not saying he doesn't share everything with you, but with this, what he's going through right now, I wouldn't worry about him. This wonderful new part or this partner, I feel he knows of, and you will too, unless I'm wrong. But I feel that he's heading in a very good direction where he's at a crossroads, even though I don't think that he set out to go. I don't know if you heard our show about synchronicity, but this is a typical example of someone that's going through this because, you know, getting, you know, your job, you know, no longer having a job. It's pretty intense. I see him, though, really meditating, even though he can't see clearly what he wants to do something, where he's heading. He wants to embrace something. He just hasn't yet done so, but he's in the past year, he's been going through a rough time. It's usually very private, but he has been rebuilding a foundation that is on his own terms or out of his own conditioning from, you know, that we all are from, you know, our parents. Not right. that you did anything wrong, but he's rebuilding what really works for him. He's searching for a deeper meaning, but there is some depression. I mean, see a little bit of like physical exhaustion and depression, kind of like, but it's only because it feels uncomfortable when you read. It's not a change. This is like I said, been going on for, it usually goes on to 6 months to a year, but I see him coming out of it. It's almost completed. And he is heading right. in a very, I see him getting more education. It might be unconventional education, more learning. But really, mm-hmm. you know, things are not what they appear to be. If you're concerned about him, I see him, yeah. even though it appears otherwise, he's really on his way to a much attainable journey. I mean, he's attaining on his way, on the path. He's heading for some really great things that are really good for him. I don't know if you – I hope you followed what I was saying here, but
– Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah, he has gone through a rough time. And and as a mother, you're just naturally mm-hmm. concerned for him.
Of course you are. And, you know, and like I said, it may have been the best thing that happened where he was at work. Maybe that he was let go. I see it to be toxic anyway, but it's the timing of it. Like I said, and it's uncomfortable because a lot of people won't fit in, his friends that used to fit in, because things are changing, his values, morals, and beliefs, and it's a very enlightening place to go through, but it's hell to go through, too. And he's brave enough to go through. And I see him really rising to the occasion, and he's going to be getting so much more knowledge about where everything is much more positive. I know that it may not appear that way. I would have faith in him, boy, and trust him. He's on his way, even if he doesn't express himself. And it's hard to watch him because it is exhausting what he's going through. But I see a really good partnership, like I said, and I see him learning something new. And really, really more conventional, too, in some ways. I see him heading in a more conventional sense. Maybe that's been his new foundation.
Well, that's good. Yeah. It's a little unconventional.
Yeah, well, I see him heading in a more traditional sense, which actually maybe that is his true nature. You know what I mean? He's coming into that place. So that'll make you really happy. I see really positive things, very much so. So just, you know what, use your intuition, what you're feeling, because he has a lot of intuition that you can pick up on a lot of his energy if you just sit quietly, and you can feel how good it is, really, even though it may appear how he's having a rough time and things. He's really doing some good work on himself, and think he'll be much happier with him coming back to his true self. So, yeah, I hope I helped you, but thank you for calling. And this, I see some fantastic things here.
Good. Thank you. This is my first time, so
I'm so glad. Maggie's mom, you should come back again, and also you can visit us at psychicaccess.com. You can. Well, Maggie knows. I know Maggie can know. But come back again, and thank you for joining us this evening. It's great.
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, someone for California. Steven, sorry.
All right. Hi. Who am I speaking with in California?
Hi, Steven. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I hear you loud and clear. May I have your first name, please?
Yes, my name is Sophia.
Sophia. Well, that's a lovely name. Means wisdom. How may I help you, Sophia?
I need a lot of it.
Well, okay. We're going to see if we can help you out right now.
Thank you for your greeting. That's great. How do you see me? Do you see me staying in my rental home for more than a year? And do you see a gentleman with the first name of M and myself coming together?
Okay. Let's first deal with the question about your residence. Yes, you'll be in that home for more than a year in your rental property, where the current place you're renting. You will be there for more than a year, and furthermore, you'll be quite happy to be there for more than a year. If you are worried about not being happy there, then you can dispense with that worry right now, because I see almost a complete type of happiness coming from that. So that's one thing you have to look forward to. Now, you asked about a gentleman as well, with a certain name, you said, correct?
Well, his the first initial is M, or Mark. I'll just tell you Mark. And I, when you mentioned going back to my home and my residence, I have a lease for a year, okay? I live at a distance from where I interact, and though I love the home, I'm not necessarily happy here, okay, at this point. Now, it hasn't been very long. It'll be 3 months, the middle of August. But at any rate, I'm just wondering, too, if that might, I've been told that I may be coming together with this gentleman to cohabitate.
Ah, I see. So that's the question. You want to know whether or not you'll be cohabitating with the gentleman you referred to me about.
Well, yeah, I mean, it all links together, you know?
Yes, it does. Well, as far as your rental property, what I saw there was that you won't have any problems staying there if you wish. Do you see?
Okay.
So you can opt out of there if you would like to do that. As far as moving in with the other gentleman, or at least progressing with him romantically, I see that also as a very distinct possibility. It seems like right now we're in sort of a period of stasis with this guy. Where I mean, everything is, it seems as if you're getting along well, but there's no movement forward on the romantic front, neither movement forward nor movement backward. But I also see that that's liable to change here as well. I see an achievement of enthusiasm with this guy. So that to my thinking, predicts a sort of a celebratory event, a date, if you will, something along those lines. So I see this relationship with him moving forward in a big way.
Okay, so there's a lull here, but you see his enthusiasm coming around.
Oh, absolutely. And not only do I see the enthusiasm coming around, as you put it, but there's the notion of mobility attached to that as well. There's the notion of travel. I'm referring to one specific card, the Seven of Scepters, the Seven of the Fire Element, and the Sevens always have this idea of travel and sport or mobility attached to them. So that's a very, very strong indicator that either you guys are going to do some traveling together, or that you're going, one of the two of you will relocate to be with the other. So that's a boon, and as far as I'm thinking about it, it's a very good omen towards your goal of being with that guy, living with him, or at least spending a lot of time with him. I fully expect you to be spending more time with him in the short-term future here.
Okay. All right. That's great. Is he going through some difficulties right now?
Well, he is. It's more business-oriented, I would imagine. I don't want to say instability in his finances, but it seems as if his finances are susceptible to fluctuation. Like, I don't know if he freelances, or I don't know if the industry he's attached to, suffers from fluctuations, a seasonal type of work. But I sense that was really in the past, though, and that he's sort of recuperating from a lull in his business or some sort of a downturn in business. But I don't see that as being a major impediment going forward. I really don't. Everything, the picture that I'm seeing here is of a situation that has achieved a sort of coagulated, achieved a sort of equilibrium and, complacency, stasis. And I see also that there's going to be a spark to change that stasis, a spark to get things going again. So you're going to start seeing some progress with him. It's going to be a process that I really believe will culminate sometime in November, October, November. Okay?
So it really won't start till October, November.
It'll start before then, but it'll culminate. It'll peak around November, but you'll start seeing effects soon, okay?
Okay.
Thank you,
Stephen.
Right. That was great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen. That was fantastic. I think, Brenda, you have a caller from Pennsylvania. Yes.
Hi, Pennsylvania. How are you?
Hi, it's Joe.
Hey, Joe. What's up, honey?
Well, I got something serious. My youngest son has a problem stemming from a pinched nerve in his back. He was taking painkillers, and now he's hooked on them, so... I was wondering how that was going to work out.
Okay, let's take a peek. Well, he doesn't like where he's at. He really doesn't. He wants to move away from it. He wants to get away from it. But when I'm looking in his, it looks like he's just pulled down into this endless kind of circle. What it's going to take is somebody, first of all, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I do believe that he's going to get out of this. It doesn't seem like it now and on the surface, but there is going to be a challenge and an intervention. And I see that it comes fairly soon, so there's hope of him getting out of this. And then his physical body, there is something that can be done. It looks like he might have to have, I don't know if it's a surgery or what, but some kind of procedure to relieve this problem here, because it still exists. I see that pain still exists, and it does, it binds him. It binds him in many ways. And in such a way that he doesn't see it, he doesn't want to see it, he doesn't want to deal with it. But it looks like the family's going to come together, one or two people, and really push him out of this. Is he not wanting to talk to you about it? Is that what's happening? Because I'm seeing he's in denial.
No, he's working on it. He's getting a medication that's supposed to block the painkiller drug, but he hasn't gone through a normal channel with his health insurance and his doctor, and I think that's not a good sign.
It's part of his fear and part of his denial, but it's going to come full circle, and he's going to have to.
Yeah, I that's what I thought. It would, no matter what he does now, it'll come to an end somehow, you know.
Yes, and I see that this is about 30 days out that he's going to be looking at another option. He's going to have to, because this alone isn't going to fix the problem.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah, but it will get resolved. That's the good news.
Yes. Well, mm-hmm. He's a good guy, and I'm sure he'll work on it till it is resolved, but a problem.
It is a problem, but it looks like family's going to come together to be supportive and be there in his corner.
Well, we're in his corner, but we have no money, and my older son has a family to take care of, and I've given all the money I have, so it has to be support in, you know, that's all there is.
Well, it might be what he needs, though. He needs encouragement. He needs a kick in the butt.
He's a good man.
You can do that. You're Italian.
They're easier to read because they're so typical.
I don't know about that. Hang in there, Joe.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Brenda. And we have another call, and they're just coming in for Steve from Iowa. Yeah, Iowa. Does it.
Thank you, Maureen. Good evening, Iowa. Who's calling?
Hi, my name is Donna.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm pretty darn good, thank you.
Good, Donna. How can I help? I'll make you darn better than you are now.
Just wanted to see if you could see anything about my current marriage and where it's going.
Let me see. Well, Donna, you know, when you describe it as current, that indicates a problem linguistically. When I look at the cards, I feel that the marriage is problematic. So I can see that you're not feeling as good about the marriage as you did in the past. And I would even go so far as to say it's as though, you know, for a number of months, actually more than a year, it feels like 14, 15 months, you've been sort of avoiding the fact that it's really in trouble. So it doesn't matter how many readings you have or what input you're given, it's always down to you to reflect upon how things are and what you want. But my feeling is that you've been almost avoiding the fact that it's really in trouble. So I feel for you. I honestly, Donna, I feel that you will move on, but it doesn't matter what I feel, what I sense. It doesn't matter what anyone feels or senses. It's down to you and your husband. But for sure, the relationship's in trouble. And you need to reflect upon whether you can turn this around and make it great, because it was really good. It's not as though it was always a bad relationship. It was good. Something's changed. But the two of you need to talk, and you need to really reflect upon what you're going to do, because things need to change if it's going to continue. And I feel, you know, looking at the cards, the two of you really need to talk, and you need to get counselling so that you can communicate well and determine whether you really can make this a positive relationship, or whether you're going to go your own way.
Right. He travels. He's home about maybe 40 days a year.
Yeah, I could see his work has him traveling a lot. But you have to say, will you answer this question? How is the relationship when you're together?
We fight.
Okay.
And okay. He's extremely, only cares about what condition the house is and how clean it is, and it's always clean. He kind of hyper-focuses on that, and I'm more of a spiritual, let's just, you know, relax, and he's a workaholic. And
do you love him?
Well, yes, he's a great guy, but he did tell me 2 weeks ago that he picked travel over me.
Well,
sounds
like you got your answer then, to be honest. You
deserve
to be the highest priority. That you know that.
Yeah.
So, but the other thing I would say to you is don't panic. Don't feel that you have to make a decision today or that you have to make a change in the next 6 months. You can do these things in your time, but it's not acceptable for your husband to say that he picks something else over you. So you deserve to be in a loving relationship that's prioritized. So I feel honestly that you'll go your own way, but don't just panic and knee-jerk into that. Work your way into that very consciously.
Sure.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. And it'll work out okay for you. You'll be okay.
Yes, I will. And another great reading. I can't believe how accurate you are.
Well, thank you. Well, that's our job. If we can help you, we're here for you.
Yes, I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So.
Good luck. Take care.
I just wanted to let you know.
Yes.
You might be getting a lot of calls from Iowa, but it's because I've referred you to so many people.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you. We're excited. That's really kind of you.
Yes, yes. Well, you deserve it.
Great. Well, you look after yourself and good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much, Steve.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Fantastic. And I was talking about Iowa has been calling a lot. And also, I want to tell the callers that are on the line waiting that you will be getting a reading. Don't worry. If we go over, that's fine. And yes, Iowa. Thank you, Steve. Fantastic. Gold stars for you. Okay. So I have a caller from Iowa. Hello, Iowa, the popular state. Hello. I can hear them coming. Hello, Iowa.
Yes, hello.
Hi there. May I have your name, please?
Yeah, my name is Paul.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Paul.
Bo? Okay. Hi, yeah, and what can I help you with?
I'm from Iowa, but with an English accent.
Oh, it's okay. We have English accents all over the place here. It's okay. It's sexy. What can I help you with, English accent, Bo?
I was just wanting to find out how my relationship is looking.
Okay. Well, the reason why I'm asking is because of our time restraints on their callers here, our calls, we have to go fast. If you could give me a direct question, so I can help, I can do much better with that because of the time restraint.
Okay. A simple question then. Will I still be married in 6 months from now?
Okay. I guess you do have somebody that you had in mind, right? That you have been seeing. Okay. Yes? Is that a correct answer? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's not like out of the clear blue, you'll be funny. Some people do go, I don't know anybody, but am I going to be married? So there is somebody that you're serious about and you're wanting to...
You're not understanding the question. The question was, I'm currently married and I will still be married.
Oh, I follow you. I'm sorry. Okay, this is what I'm getting. It looks like there was a... recently there was a move or change of residence, something new, positive, around the home environment. It was probably about a month ago or so, but it's almost like a new feeling of a new beginning. And I feel it was a great, like, new start. And then right now what I'm seeing is it looks like you and your marriage, it's not like it's so new. You've been for a while together, and it does look like there's detachment going on. You know, it's kind of breaking my heart what I'm seeing here, because I feel that the two of you very much, like, really are love each other. I'm not going to go with in love stuff. Really care about each other. You know, when's your anniversary? Do you have an anniversary coming up sooner than the later, when you got married?
October.
This is what I'm encouraging. I'm not telling you what to do, but what I'm seeing, it would be very beneficial. I feel your marriage is workable, and it should not be left to by itself. And you guys should stick it out. But I do see you pursuing it, and maybe doing renewing your vows. And there's a little bit of romantic, and I do feel that I see you trying to make an effort. I do see you, unless you're seeing somebody else, and I don't know about that, anybody's interfering with your relationship. I don't see it on her side, but hopefully that's not the case. But I do feel that I see you two coming back together. Like I said, I don't know all those situations, and I get that you're wanting this marriage to work, but I do feel it'd be really nice to have a little bit of a coming back into a place where you used to be, and renewing each other's vows, and it's coming up in October, would be a really good idea. But I do see you reconnecting, but it does look like there's some, it's difficult right now. But I do feel that you have a lot, I would pursue it. Pursue it like you've just met her. I feel you'll get a really good response. I can see this. It would be very positive. You may not seem, she may be very distant, but it looks very good if you're willing to do that.
Okay.
Which I feel you are. You are. You want to stay married, yes?
Yes.
Okay, and therefore, that's why I'm saying you guys aren't through. Don't let this slip away. You step it up. I'm not saying you haven't, but use your romance, because you're charming, you're lovely, and you're sincere, and she has maybe some issues going on, but I do feel that you're going to get through this just fine, and just be who you are and try not to hold on to the past problems. But yes, I do see this working out. It's going to be a little bit difficult, but it will work out. Better to do in October a renewal of your vows. I think it'll be very positive, and she'll agree to it. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You take care. Okay, and now we have Iowa. Is that again? Florida. To Steven.
Florida. Okay, well, who am I speaking with in Florida?
Hello.
Hi, good evening. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is Amy. I'm in St. Pete, Florida.
Hi, Amy from St. Pete, Florida. How may I help you this evening?
I got a question for you. My husband and I divorced about 5 years ago, and he remarried, and I have a feeling that their stepmother is abusing them. Is there, do you get any feelings that she is abusing my children?
Okay, let me pick up on that, all right? Is the stepmother being abusive to the children, to Amy's children? And I'm picking up that she is not, but it's a small margin, you see. It's not an overwhelming no. So I would have to say that she's not crossing the line, but she's skirting right up to the line instead of crossing over it. I don't see her doing anything that would attract the wrath of the social services, for example. But okay. I do see her behaving toward the children in a way that most reasonable parents would sort of shake their heads and say, "Oh my goodness, I feel sorry for those kids." Do you see? That's what I see happening. But she's not crossing any lines. She's not beating them or abusing them in any worse kind of way than that, thank God. But what I see the most is a sort of a verbal or an emotional type of stress that she's putting the children under. That's what I'm getting most of all.
The kids are telling me that she hits them in the face and things like that, but they're too scared to tell their dad because he's never around. And, you know, with the communication with my ex-husband and I, you know, I'm trying to open his eyes to hopefully keep a closer eye on the situation. He's just so busy with work. It seems it seems to be difficult for him to take that time out of work to open his eyes, which I don't quite understand. So I just didn't know if it's the kids maybe, you know, not necessarily lying, but going a little bit overboard, and they're terrified of her. So I didn't know if that meant, you know, just the verbal and just being scared of her, or if, you know, she has been just as abusive as her sister had been when they were babysitting and her father, you know, the stepmom's father was also physically abusive towards them. So I didn't know if it was also her being the same way that her family has been towards the kids.
Well, no, ma'am. The children certainly aren't lying in the sense they do fear the grandmother. They are scared of her. And what's more is that there's a certain system that they're in that household, because the father is away so often, you know, they often spend large tracts of time with the grandmother or people who are sympathetic to the grandmother. And so they are, you know, they are limited on who they can tell, who they can complain to about grandma. And so when they do get a chance to complain, you know, it's all going to come spilling out. Now, I don't see any type of abuse that would, for instance, leave marks on the children. Of course, any type of hitting is a bad thing. But again, what I see is that she's not crossing any legal lines. She's not doing anything that would allow the state to file a complaint against her. Okay. I can definitely see her like popping them on the lips or something when they get, you know, if they get a little sassy or whatever. But as far as something psychotic, you know, as far as beating them with a belt, leaving marks, that's not going on so much.
Okay.
And it's damaging to it's hard for the kids, because what they're getting out of grandma is a lot of changeability. So on one day, grandma's going to be really abusive with her mouth, and then the next day she's going to be really sweet, and then, you know, back to being mean, back to being sweet, you know, so that's having an effect on them as well.
And my daughter has asked me if I could please sit down with her and my ex-husband so that she feels more comfortable talking to him about what's going on. Would you recommend that?
Oh, absolutely. He definitely has to be brought into the loop. If there's a way that we can hash this issue out without getting grandma involved, that would be better.
It's the father-in-law and the sister of the stepmom.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was just picking up on, you know, some age relative to the children there. Well, you know, if there's a way that we can get this situation hashed out without cluing the woman into what's going on, that would be better, if at all possible, because then we don't have to worry about any vengeance or reprisals against the children. I don't trust the lady not to take it out on the kids, even if she doesn't mean to intentionally.
That's what she normally does. That's why they're terrified to talk to daddy about it.
Right. Yes, you definitely need to have a heart-to-heart with Dad about this, and he needs to put down his foot down and say, look, you know, the responsibility for disciplining my children is with myself and their mother, you know. Okay. So that's really what's necessary. As soon as the abuser realizes that all eyes are on her, for example, she'll put a little treble in her tone and start being more pleasant. Okay.
Do you see that opening his eyes and him seeing that and possibly the marriage not lasting very much longer?
Their marriage will probably keep on going, unfortunately, but it will cause problems. Not enough to immediately end the marriage, but it would certainly set up a little chop that would have consequences months or years down the road, okay?
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And come see us at psychicaccess.com, okay?
Psychicaccess.com. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve. And that was a difficult call.
Thank you.
I might be confused, you guys. There is one more caller. I don't know. Whose turn is it? Is it Brenda's or is it Steve?
It's my turn.
I'm sorry. You see, I got lost. Okay, California, right? There you go. I guess.
Who is sorry. It calling from California?
It's Reggie.
Hey, Reggie. My favorite. What's up, honey?
Do you see me making any new friends?
Let's take a peek.
And Joe said his son had a pensioner.
Yeah?
I have one, too, and it's a bummer.
Oh, no. Well, this is interesting. I see someone coming in and she's not too far from you, too. It's a woman, and she's a little bit older. Close to your age, not maybe a little bit older than you, but a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
I see that she doesn't live in your complex, but she works near there. And so there's a new person coming in as a friend. Are you speaking to somebody right now? You're talking to a new woman right now?
No, but there's a lot of people who work here. There are people who work here, quite a few.
I feel it's someone who works there, not lives there. And I like her energy. I see that there's she's intelligent. She could even be kind of charming.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as your health is concerned, you know, like everything else, you're going to rise above this, Reggie. You really are, because you know you've been through a lot lately. But it looks like it comes and this affliction comes and goes. It doesn't look like it's here to stay.
Yeah, it's going slowly.
Yeah, this thing comes and goes. Yeah. You know, and then pretty soon it's going to be going more. But back to the friends. Be careful of false friends, too, because I see that there will be someone calling you that is a friend, not even really a close friend, but an acquaintance that wants to, you know, kind of bring you down by talking about her problems. And I'm also seeing that there's money issues around her too, and she might be somebody that you've dealt with in the past.
Yeah.
No, okay. there's a new friend, and I see that this new friend happens by the end of this month too.
How did she look, you think?
She's got light colored hair. Her skin is kind of light. She's middle-aged. Yeah. That's what I see.
Yeah, there's
I like
a
her
lot
energy.
Of,
she looks like
of,
somebody
there,
who's
there
straightforward.
There are a lot of people working here, quite a few.
Huh?
You're breaking up there a little bit.
Oh. Well, she looks like a nice person, and that's what you need. It's a friendship first.
Yeah. Yeah. Take it slow. Yeah.
Take it very slow, because otherwise, if you jump the gun, you could get in trouble with this.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Brenda.
All right, honey. Thanks.
All right. All right. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you, Brenda. Okay. Thank you, Reggie. Last caller for Steve. Caller for you from You Got It.
Hi. Who's calling?
Hello?
Hi. What's your name?
My name is Leticia.
Okay, how can I help you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. How can I help?
Yes, I was calling because I had a question regarding my husband's family. I wanted to know, are they the reason why he hasn't came home yet?
Why he hasn't come home yet?
Right.
Let's see. Let me see. Why he hasn't come home yet, is that this evening?
Huh?
Do you mean this why he hasn't come home today?
No, I mean, like, he moved out, and because his family has a lot of influences on him, and he's, like, listening to them, and, you know, it's a long story short.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay.
I feel it's his mother in particular, actually, that has more influence over him. It's particularly his mother. She seems to have quite a controlling influence over the decisions that he makes. So I don't feel it's the father or other members of the family. It's particularly the mother figure. He feels quite conflicted, to be honest with you. On the one hand, I feel as though he's a little bit weak-willed in that he is very easily influenced by his family, and he doesn't necessarily stand up for himself and think for himself. And let me see. I feel that it'll be okay. I don't feel that it means the end of your relationship or anything like that. But obviously there are issues, and I feel as though it's going to take some time to sort itself out. I don't feel that he'll come back quickly. I think it will take a few months to work the situation out.
Mr. Nini.
Well, how are we going to work things out if he's not, you know, responding and, you know, being bringing the past up and stuff? Like, he won't let it go. So that was, you know, making me feel like that it won't change if he do come back. It's going to be the same thing, same argument, you know?
As I said, I feel it will work out. I feel you can sort it out, but there's obviously a lot to deal with. And I feel that if he came back straight away anyway, it wouldn't be very different. So I really feel like you need to take a few months and allow it to unfold. And then when you're communicating, really talk about the issues and how you can turn the situation around to get back together. But I don't feel it's going to be something that resolves itself quickly. I really feel like you're talking about a few months, but I do feel that you'll be together. If this hadn't happened, you would have just drifted on as you were. So in some ways, it's a good thing because there's quite a lot of tension and conflict between the two of you, and that needs to be resolved. I feel like there are money concerns as well. So I don't feel like there's a lot you can do in the near term. I feel like you need to just be patient, be strong and clear about yourself and what's acceptable to you. Take the time to really think about the issues and evaluate the relationship. And then I feel that he'll be in contact in about 3 weeks. But I wouldn't rush back into it. I feel that the two of you really need to sort things out. But again, I've got another card that says you will sort it out. I don't feel your relationship is over. I just feel it's got issues that need to be addressed.
Okay, I have another question because I called, I think it was a psychic, and she told me that his mom put something on him. Is that true? Like a root or something, or like a black magic or something like that? They are from the island. Do they believe in that? Scared.
I don't believe too much in spell work. The problem with spell work is when a person believes. So if you, for example, engage in a ritual that's beneficial for you, like to do with the sale of a property or something, it can help if you believe in it.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised, based upon what I feel and what I see in the cards, I wouldn't be surprised if she has done something, but
because
I don't give it energy.
Up under her thumb. Yeah.
Just don't give it energy. If you believe and buy into it, then it, you know, you're adding to its influence. You need to project good thoughts about your relationship and what you want and focus on the positive. I wouldn't give it any energy. If you do give it energy, you just help it. So just ignore
it. Yeah, I haven't. I've been praying about it and hoping and praying to God that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's what I've been doing. So I'm just like hoping that that's not the case because, you know, she is my kid's grandmother and I hope she wouldn't do that to our family. But I'm praying that it's not true.
Yeah, stay focused on yourself and him and your family and the outcomes that you actually want.
Right, okay. That's,
and then you'll add positive energy to the situation.
Oh, that's exactly what I've been doing. I haven't said anything to him about it. I've just been praying and be like, okay, I'm just going to let go and let God and just let it flow, you know, and
good.
That's what I've been doing.
I mean, that's the right thing to do.
Until he comes.
So well, I wish you lots of luck. As I said, I do feel you'll be okay, but it's going to take some time.
Take some time. Time is good. Like you said, if it didn't happen, we'll be in the same merry-go-round. So everything happens for a reason, so I'm just going to let everything take its course. And
well, that's the right
thank
way to
you
look
so much.
It. You're welcome. Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Steve, very much. And that brings us to an end of a very lovely, wonderful Love the Calls and Everything show. And thank you, Doug, that keeps us in our place. And Brenda, what do we have for next week?
We have Deborah Laval, and she's going to be talking to us about the magic door into self-enlightenment.
That's fantastic, and I won't be here, sorry, but I will listen to it, and I
all
will
right.
listen. But I'll say my goodbye, and thank you for joining us in the chat room, and you can visit us at psychicaccess.com. Come.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Have a good week, everyone.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.